Hello, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours calling in from beautiful Boquete, Panama, where it's about 72 degrees right now. We did have blue skies. Well, there's still some blue skies out there, but it's starting to cloud up just a little bit, which is pretty typical in the rainy season that about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, we might get rain for 30 minutes to an hour or two. So it looks like we might get a little bit of rain later. This call, usually I have a guest that I interview on the call, but a lot of people have said that they would like for me to do one call that's an interview and then one call that's a Q&A, one call that's an interview and one call that's a Q&A, because you have so many questions and there's just not enough time during our interview calls to get to all the questions that you have. So by alternating it, it'll give us time to answer more of your questions. Of course, you're always welcome to call our office if you have a question. That number is 972-496-4500, or you can send an email to info, at PanamaRelocationTours.com. I know some of you don't want to ask your question on live on this call, and you'd rather keep it more private. And so all you need to do is call the office, and we'll be glad to answer any questions. So now with some important news about some little changes that we're starting to see that are taking place here in Panama. All of Panama City and just west of Panama City is still under a very, very strict quarantine. Women can only leave their house on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday for 2 hours. Men can leave on Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday for 2 hours on each of those times to go to the grocery store, pharmacy, or the bank. Now, you can get groceries delivered, so it's really not necessary to go to the grocery store. But the rest of the country, where I live over in Boquete and many of the other areas, we only have a curfew from 7 p.m. until 5 a.m. We have to be home. But the rest of the time, we're free to travel anywhere in our province. A province is like a state. So if I wanted to go down to the beach, I could go down to the beach. If I wanted to drive an hour, 15 minutes over to Volcan from where I live, I can do that with this current curfew that we have in the province that I live in. So that's kind of the situation. Also, I've sent it out before that Panama has a plan for reopening the economy, and it's divided into six different blocks. Panama City and just west of Panama City and most of the country is pretty much stuck in block two. They haven't been able to get the R value or the value that of COVID cases that gets reproduced. They haven't been able to get that low enough to go to the next step, to number three. They haven't been able to reduce the number of new cases that are happening every day. We're getting about 800 in the whole country. Almost all of those are in Panama City area. However, in some provinces, in the Zuora Peninsula, Los Santos Province, and Herrera Province, they've done really good about following the rules, keeping social distancing, abiding by the quarantines or the curfews that we have. So Los Santos and Herrera Province in the Zuora Peninsula, they have a good handle on it. They have not had very many cases, haven't had very many deaths, and their number of new cases is extremely low, and their reproduction rate of the virus or its spreading is almost non-existent in that area. So in the Azuera Peninsula, they've been able to open up Block 3 and Block 4 of the economy, which even more stores can be open, more restaurants can be open, a lot more activity can happen in those areas. So as we slowly start to get control of this virus in certain parts of Panama, instead of making the whole country wait, it's really good that the president, President Cortizo, is allowing the areas that are doing a good job to go ahead and open up. So that's good news, and we're hoping that that'll happen in Chiriquí Province, where I live on the far western side, pretty soon. The other significant news that happened is since March, when they shut down the country until August, The only way that you could leave the country was if it was on a humanitarian flight that was arranged by one of the embassies, either German embassy, U.S. embassy, Canadian embassy. They had to arrange certain flights and get permission from the Panamanian government. Then you had to get special permission called a salvo conducto to even be able to travel to get on your flight. And then flights coming into the country have been extremely limited. I think there's been four or five since March. And they've only allowed people in that are Panamanian or people that have a legal residency already, that they have a permanent visa. We have two more humanitarian flights next week. I think it's next week. Yeah, next week. We have two more humanitarian flights coming from the United States, and those both sold out really quick. But it's only Panamanians or people that have legal residency that can come in on those two humanitarian flights for next week. But the big news is this: the president announced, I believe it was on July 31st, or right around the 1st of August, he announced that they're not going to do the humanitarian flights anymore. Instead, they're going to have commercial flights, but on an extremely limited basis, coming into Panama. Once again, they're still only restricted to people that are Panamanian or people that already have a permanent resident visa. But at least it's not a humanitarian flight. So I see that as a positive case, and the next step will be that they'll allow tourists to come in. I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know if it'll be September, October, November, or January, or when it's going to be, but at least they're easing up on being able to come into the country. So that's a big plus. And that's about all of the news. Some people have asked me through email, do we have any shortages of anything? Are we having protests and riots like you're seeing in some of the other countries over the virus situation? In Panama City, I have seen some very small protests in certain towns, and it's because the government is giving out food bags and also money to people, and people say they haven't gotten their food bag yet or they haven't gotten their money yet. So they've done 10 or 20 people in a neighborhood that will protest and say, hey, where's our food? Where's our money? But in the rest of the country, you just don't see it. You're not seeing it. And I think part of that is in the rest of the country, most of the people have a gardener. They have chickens or they have their family. Their mom or dad or brother or sister has chickens in a garden. And the other thing in most of the rest of the country, a lot of people just share. If they have extra of anything, then they share it with their neighbor who might be in need. So we're just not seeing that violence and the protest and things like that. And in the grocery stores, I usually get my groceries delivered, but I do go to a vegetable stand once in a while. I haven't seen any shortages of anything. We have toilet paper, we have meat supplies, we have vegetables, canned goods, imported products. All the grocery stores are full, so we haven't had any shortages of anything. So we're doing good. Great weather, and we're doing really good. So that's the update on what's happening here in Panama. And now I'm going to go ahead and go to our questions. If anybody has a question, all you need to do is press *6 to get in line to ask your question. And I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. It would be best if you could just ask one question. If you have two questions that are related, then that's okay. Ask them at the same time. But we have a lot of people that want to ask a question. If we have one person that monopolizes it with four or five questions, then I won't be able to get through all the questions in 1 hour. So if you could please just ask one question. Anytime throughout this call, if you have a question that you think of, all you have to do is press *6 to get in line, and then you can ask your question. So our first caller is David, a regular. Go ahead.
Yes. Good evening, Jackie. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in today.
Well, thanks for having me. My question centered around transportation. Can you give us a good idea about cars, ride sharing, like Ubers, buses, trains? Are there any? I don't even know if there is any trains in Panama. Like, how much would it cost to go from like Paquete to Panama City, Paquete or to David? And the other part of the question, which is related, is do most expats own who own their own house, do they have cars? And do most expats who rent, do they normally, rent their house, do they normally just, you know, not have a car? Is there like a breakdown of that?
Well, I don't know what the percentage is of people that own cars versus people that don't own cars. I would say that expats that live in town, wherever, you know, the restaurants are close by, the grocery store is close by, everything is a block or two away, a lot of those people don't bother with owning a car. I live a 10-minute drive outside of town. Now, I could take a bus to go into town. It's a dollar, but I have a car. So the cost of transportation, the only train that's available in Panama goes from Panama City to Colón. And I did put a post on Facebook, so a YouTube video, it's an exquisitely beautiful, picturesque train ride. But it's kind of a touristy thing. It's not really so much for commuters. It's a touristy thing. But there is a train that goes from Panama City to Colón or back. There's also, in Panama City, we have a subway system, an underground subway system that's 25 cents. It'll get you to wherever you want to go in the town. And they're working on, I think, the first line and second line are open. They're working on the third line. So that transportation is super affordable. There are taxis, and they have to be a yellow vehicle throughout the country. The cost depends on how far you're going to go. So it's a good idea to negotiate what that price is going to be before you get in if you're not familiar with what the prices are. For example, if I'm in Panama City and I get a taxi, which wouldn't be very often, I usually take Uber, but if I'm going to get a taxi, I know the right price to get from point A to point B, so I don't even ask them. Just when I get out, I hand them the money that I know is the right price, so there's no haggling over price. I'm not going to get gringo priced because I know it's $4 and not $7 for the ride that I just took. But those taxis are available throughout the country. Even little towns are going to have taxis. The other thing that's available in Panama that's super affordable, it's not so much now during the pandemic, but it's going to open up. Little by little, it's opening up. If I wanted to take a bus, and this would be a big 40 or 50 passenger bus with reclining seats and air conditioning, if I wanted to take a bus from David to Panama City, it's usually the price is $20, but because I'm a jubilado or a pensionado, I get it for about $15 to take that ride. It's about a 7-hour trip. Now, if I didn't have a car and I needed to get to the bus station in David, it's $1.75 for me to take the bus from Boquete to David or David to Boquete. So once again, you can see how super affordable the prices are. So as far as people, I would say probably a high percentage of expats own a car unless they live close to town and they can walk to everything. And some people specifically choose to live close to town because they don't want to own a car and they want to be able to just walk to the grocery store. And let's say you walk to the grocery store and you get your groceries and it's more than you can carry going home. You can always pay a dollar to get a taxi ride to go back home, but at least you got a little bit of exercise to walk to the grocery store. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you so much. I look forward to next week.
Okay, talk to you then. Thanks for calling in. Next caller is area code 515. Go ahead.
Yes, Jack. This might be kind of asking you something personal, if you don't mind, though. It seems to me when I first started listening, you had international health insurance. And if I'm not mistaken, you said that you had change to another type of insurance. If you don't mind answering, why did you switch?
So I did. I used to have international, and ever since I've lived here, I've had international health insurance, which covered me anywhere in the world, the U.S., Panama, Mexico, Europe, anywhere in the world. The thing that changed is when I turned 65, I had to make a decision if I was going to get Medicare or if I was going to just have international health insurance. And if I ever chose to move back to the United States, which would be, that would be a slim, slim, slim chance because I love it in Panama. And I wanted to get into Medicare later, there was going to be a penalty for me to get into, a pretty big penalty. So I talked with a Medicare insurance specialist in Texas, where I moved from, and she was able to get me into a Medicare plan that's $40 a month, and then I pay another $20 a month for a prescription plan. And I don't even use it. I don't live there, but it's so cheap. So I know I'm covered in the United States with that Medicare. And I could have, when it came time to renew my international health insurance, I could have renewed it and said, I want insurance for the whole world except the United States, and it would have kept my costs down. But especially with this virus situation, I don't anticipate that I'll be traveling very much for the next couple of years. So instead, I chose to just get insurance that covers me here in Panama. So I have insurance that covers me in Panama that's $102 a month, but I paid by the year. And then I have insurance that covers me in the United States if I go back there, if I should. For, even for a visit. If I decide to go to Mexico or Portugal or Argentina, I can always get traveler's insurance for those little trips instead of paying for a whole year of international health insurance because my travel days have been reduced a little bit.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Next caller is John. Go right ahead. Area
Hi,
code 786.
Yes, hi. Hi, Jackie. This is John. I live now in Jupiter, Florida, and when hopefully everything clears up, I want to eventually move permanently to Panama. But I'm kind of used to the ocean and the beach areas. I'm single at the moment. Any area you would recommend? Because I've been doing some research, and obviously closer to Panama City, there's I guess Coronado, and I also see now there's Gorgona areas.
Right. So yeah, so
you
my
recommend?
suggestions would be based on what your budget is, and we have a lot of information about these different areas and what the cost would be, and the beach areas in our online Panama relocation guide. So there's Panama, there's a Coronado, Gorgona, San Carlos, Riohacho, Chamé. Those are all beach communities that are just a little bit, about an hour outside of Panama City. But it's a little bit pricey in that area. Another beach area that's really popular, that's between Chitré and Las Tablas, there's about 10 different beach communities, and it's less than half as much as it would cost in the Coronado area. Yet you're still so close to shopping and amenities and expat communities and good restaurants and all kinds of things. So those are two different areas that you might consider.
What was that? I'm sorry, what area was that? What'd you call it?
The other one is in the Azuero, Azuero Peninsula, and it's between Chitré and Las Tablas.
Okay. Good. Okay. And they have apartments for rent, right? I mean, all different types of options.
Yeah, well, you're more likely to probably get a single family house.
Okay.
Right now, I know of a one bedroom single family house that's right across the street from the beach, and it's $350 a month furnished, and that includes
Wow.
all utilities. You could never
Wow.
get that price for an
No.
auto.
No.
But a three bedroom, three bath house right on the beach is going to be about $800 a month in that area.
In what area? In
And
the
a
St.
similar
Carlos area?
property in Coronado would be 2,000.
And this is in the St. Carlos area, as you said? Or St.
No,
Charles?
it's between Las Tablas and Chitré.
Los Tablos. I'm sorry, I just want to write it down. Los.
And the other one is Chitre, C-H-I-T-R-E.
Chitre and Los, I'm sorry, Los.
Los Tablos, L-A-S-T-A-B-L-A-S.
Got it. In those areas.
Okay.
Between those two areas. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Carol is my next caller. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. The last caller asked some of the question I was going to ask about because I want to be close to the ocean. However, are there any areas that are close to the water that are not very humid and perhaps with lots of bugs?
The area in Azuera has less rain than any other place in Panama, so it's much less humid than it is. Now, the closer you are to the water, the more humid it's going to be. If you're just a block or two away from the water, then you can reduce the humid feeling. And the bugs, as far as the bugs go, like walking on the beach, if you get out and walk on the beach just as the sun's coming up or just as the sun's going down, that seems to be when the bugs come out. But if you're there in the middle of the day, you know, like from 9 a.m. until about 4 p.m., then you're just not going to have that much of a problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome. Gene, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Gene from Chicago. I'm 78 years old, single, and even though I would love to anchor myself in Panama, I'm interested also in doing some traveling, but I don't want to travel alone. Frankly, I'm not sure about Boquete or David or even Panama City. What is the sort of expat or even local dating scene for someone my age who's single?
Well, Gene, I wish I could answer your question on that one, but I really don't know. I can tell you that there are a lot of social activities in the Coronado area. In Boquete, there's a lot of social activities. We have live music. A lot of people get together, both Panamanians and expats. So you have the opportunity to meet people, and then you're going to have to take it from there on the whole dating thing. But I haven't dated since 1972, so I don't know anything about dating anymore. That's not even in my realm of possibilities. I have no interest.
Okay.
So
well,
I just don't. I can't answer your question. I can't answer your question about dating. But I think it all starts with, you know, meeting people. And you can
Sounds
meet
like
people
Chicago.
If you're in an area where there are social activities.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Dan, go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi.
I have a question. That is, people that have a bank account in the U.S. and they have their pension or their retirement money going in there, can you access that using your ATM in Panama?
You can. If you have an ATM card from your bank in the United States or a debit card from the United States, you can go to any ATM machine in Panama to get access to that. But there's two problems. One is that you're usually limited to $500 a day. The other thing is that the bank in Panama is going to charge about $5 for you to get access to that money, plus whatever charges that your bank might charge. Now, if you're with like Charles Schwab or some of the other banks, they reimburse you for any of those fees. But you can absolutely do that.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 912. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Leo from California. I have a kind of a support question. I've been doing some research online, and from what I'm seeing is the crime seems to be more targeting towards the expats because obviously it's believed that the expats have more money.
That's not at all true. Yeah, I've been here 11 years, and I could count on one hand the number of times that an expat has been involved in any kind of crime in my area. Now, in Panama City and Colón, there's a lot more crime in those areas, in Panama City and Colón. But even all the people that I know that live in the beach areas around Azuera, they've been here 15 years, never, ever had crime. people that I know that live in the Coronado area, they haven't had any crime. So you can't just put a generalization on the whole country. It all depends on where you're living. If you live in Panama City, you're probably more susceptible to having some kind of crime there, petty crime. Okay? Next caller, it doesn't show any name or any number, but I just unmuted a line. Go ahead.
How you doing? I'm sorry. My name is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
I'm a military veteran. Hi. I'm a military veteran, and me and my wife are interested in coming down to build a ocean view home. We have a monthly income stream of about $12,000 a month for dipping into 401k. I'm hearing horror stories about shoddy construction. How does a expat kind of like deal with that? Try to find a good construction company to build a house.
So, if you're going to do any kind of, first of all, I would recommend that you just rent in the area that you're thinking about building in before you buy any land or before you build anything, to make sure you like the weather and make sure you like that area before you dive in on a building project. So that would be my number one recommendation. And then to answer your question about finding a good building company, you need to ask a lot of people. You're going to get a much better price and probably much better quality. If you go with someone that's been building here in Panama for 20 years, a Panamanian company that's been building in 20 years, as opposed to some expat company that may not even be legally working here, that just moved in, 6 months or a couple of years ago, and all of a sudden they're building houses, and they claim that they built houses in South Africa or some other country before, but you don't know. So you have to get a lot of good recommendations. Also, to build a house in Panama, you have to work with a Panamanian architect to design the house, and they'll also help with the permitting process. And your architect will have some recommendations on some good builders, reliable builders to work with. But yes, I've heard many of those horror stories too.
Okay, and this is a follow-up, a related question. Should we look into a gated community, or do we have to worry about that?
If I lived in Panama City, first of all, you couldn't pay me $1 million to live in Panama City. But if I did live in Panama City, I would want to be in a gated community. Throughout the rest of the country, it's just not necessary.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Next caller, area code 760. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm trying to understand because I, when I'm researching, it seems like the laws change pretty quickly there. And my question is about property rights. If we were to purchase property there and we're in the process or getting our permanent visa and eventually we want to get citizenship, how protected are you, like if you end up getting deported out of the country for whatever reason, or is there civil forfeiture laws in Panama, or
some
of this?
No, there's not, and the property right laws haven't changed at all. You have, and it's been that way for a long, long time. You have the right, just like anybody else, to own property in Panama, with the exception of foreigners cannot own land within 10 kilometers of a border. So the border between Costa Rica and Panama, you cannot own land 10 kilometers to the border. Same thing with the border to Colombia, which you wouldn't want to own anything there anyway. It's a jungle. But you need to be aware that there's not all property in Panama is titled. To make it the safest purchase of all, you need to get titled land, buy titled land or buy a house that is titled, meaning that you have a title. It says you own it and you can trace back the chain of title on it. Some property here is called right of possession or ROP, and that is not titled. And there have been situations where people have bought some land that's ROP land, and then all of a sudden somebody comes out of the blue and says, well, you can't buy that land. That was my grandfather's land, and I inherited it, and they end up losing their money. So if you want to just not have to worry about losing your money, then get titled property, and then you don't have to worry about it. ROP, property, is a different animal, though.
So if you own
the
property, but
the only reason you'd get deported is if you broke the law. So be a law-abiding citizen. You don't have to worry about getting deported.
Well, what if they change, like, the Pensionada program or the Friendly Nations program or something like that changes on the immigration status? Can you still legally own property if you end up losing your residency status?
Well, you wouldn't own your residency status. The Pensionado program, they can't change. The Friendly Nation visa, it could completely go away, but anyone that already has a Friendly Nation visa, it'll be grandfathered in. So you don't have to worry about losing that status.
Okay, yeah, because I was just, you know, from what I understand, you have to maintain like a corporation on the Friendly Nations, and if something ever came astrue, and, you know, because one of the lawyers we spoke to said it's really hard to get citizenship. So if we did this for 5 years, and at the end of the 5 years, something changed, and then we never were able to get citizenship.
I know a lot of people that, first of all, you do not have to maintain a corporation if you have a Friendly Nation visa. You need to keep that corporation for the first year until you have your permanent visa, and then there's no requirement in the law at all for you to maintain that corporation. Now, if you do decide to buy land, you may want to take title to it in the name of your corporation, and then you've got to maintain it. But I know people that they forgot to pay their annual renewal fee on the corporation in a couple of years, and you just pay it plus a penalty, and then it's all okay. So you don't have, I don't know which attorney you're working with, but that's false information. You do not have to maintain the corporation. You can let it go after you get your permanent visa. Okay?
Okay, yeah, because we just want to make sure that if we buy land, that if something were to change in the laws, that we'd still have access to get back to our land.
You're still going to have access to get back to it. So, and if you're a permanent resident, there's people right now that they bought land, they bought a house, they bought a condo, they bought some land in Panama, and they were in Europe, or they were in the United States when they shut down the borders, and they want to come back here to check on their land, but they don't even have a visa. They were tourists. They made the mistake of buying property when they were just a tourist, and now they haven't been able to get back here since March when the borders closed, and I don't know when they're going to open the borders up for tourists. So long as you're a legal resident, you're going to still be able to get back to your property if you were gone away.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
That.
Mm-hmm. Next caller, area code 617.
Yes, Jackie, it's Carmelita. First of all, extreme thanks and gratitude for all your Q&As and talks, extremely informative. And I know it takes a lot of your time.
You're very welcome.
The question that I have, and it has to do with drug trafficking. On the travel advisory for Panama, there are two areas that do not travel, and one, of course, I totally understand it's by the Colombia border, and the other one is references the Mosquito Gulf. And I'm just
That's around Cologne.
Okay, that's down in the Cologne area. And then also it says do not travel within 12 miles of the coastline between Boca del Rio, Cherokee, to Consuelo del Norte. And I'm just wondering, in your experience and your knowledge, has there been any drug trafficking in the Cherokee area?
Yes, there has been, mostly in the Puerto Amueyas area. They've even put on extra police duty. Main thing is don't get involved in it. Don't buy drugs. Don't try to sell drugs and squeeze in on their territory. But you know, if you just stay away from that whole activity, then you're going to have less problems of it. But yeah, in Cherokee, there have been some drug busts in the Porchamuyas area, and probably because it's so close to the Costa Rica border that they just try to move drugs. There's no place you're going to be able to move to in the world to get away from drug trafficking, I don't think, but just stay away from it. Don't buy drugs and stay away from people that do drugs, and then there's less chance you're going to get involved in any of it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next is Dan. Go ahead.
Hi. When we relocate, we plan on selling our house. We will no longer have a U.S. address. How does that affect Medicare enrollment?
It doesn't really affect Medicare enrollment. I just signed up for Medicare not long ago. And in Panama, whenever you want to, if I want to order something from Amazon and get it sent here to Panama, I have to work with a mail forwarding company that gives me an address in Florida. So I just use my Florida address. It doesn't cost me a penny to have that.
So that would work also for like our addresses for our credit cards and that kind of stuff?
Credit card, for the bank, yep, all those things.
Okay, and you tell us about that on our tour, right?
We tell you about it during the tour. We also have detailed information about it in our online Panama relocation guide.
Yeah, we're booked for your June 18th tour next year.
Great, I look forward to meeting you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, I believe, is David. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. David, what about the flights? Are the flights open between Costa Rica and David?
David, no,
correct.
They're not. Costa Rica has opened up their borders, but the border between Panama and Costa Rica is not. Panama's borders are still closed to everybody except Panamanians and people that already have a residency visa. But even then, they'd have to go in through Tacoma International Airport in Panama City. They cannot just come in through the border of Costa Rica. But we're starting to see that it's opening up a little bit. It might be September, October. I think we're going to see more things opening up.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome. Marty, go ahead.
Oh, hi there. This is Linda Garland. Can you hear me?
Hi, Linda. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, perfect. Okay, so my question is kind of piggybacking on some other questions that were asked earlier. What is required to purchase and finance land or a home in Panama?
So if you want to purchase a land or home, let's start with the purchase part first. You're going to need to have your attorney, not a real estate agent, not the seller's attorney, but you need your attorney to create the purchase contract, and your attorney will do a title search of the property to make sure that the people selling it to really own it, and also there's other things that have to be done before you can go to closing. So your attorney will dot the I's and cross the T's and make sure everything's correct, and then your attorney will create the closing documents, and they'll send them to you, or they may meet you at a notary's office where you go for closing. So there's not title companies or escrow offices you go to. And I've got a lot of background on your line. I'm sorry for the... So you do that for closing. As far as financing it, you have to go to a bank. And a bank will want 20 to 30% down, and they will want a life insurance policy for at least the amount of the loan. And also, they require that all loans be paid off by the time you turn 70. So that's the requirement for financing. Next caller is Sylvia. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to find out the timing for applying for a permanent residence visa and then getting a lawyer if we're going to be there, say, on August 21st next year.
So you mean the time frame on how long does it take to get a residency visa? Is that your question?
Mainly when to when to get a lawyer, when to apply for the permanent residence visa.
So to get a visa, it's a three-step process. Initially, you'll be in Panama for 5 to 7 days to get your temporary visa. And then usually about 2 to 3 months later, your attorney will let you know that your permanent visa is ready. And it just takes 1 day to get your permanent visa. And then shortly after that, you'll get your cédula or your national ID card. So that's kind of the process for getting a visa. Next question is area code 303. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Cynthia from Arizona. We're scheduled, Michael and I are scheduled for your trip next May. And we've also received several questions from me via email. So I was just wondering, we haven't heard much about camping in Panama. Is there anything you could tell us about that? Like public camping sites? Is it popular? Not allowed? Stuff like that.
It's not very popular in Panama. We do have national parks throughout the country. Most of them close at 6 p.m. It would have to be on private property someplace, not in a national park. So camping is, people do it, but it's just not that popular. There's a few places that, there's a place called Pachamama and a couple of other places throughout the country where they have a lot of land and they have some little cabins you can rent and they have places where you can pitch your tent. So there are a few places where you can go, but usually the national parks are going to close about 6 p.m. Now you might be way into there and they don't even know that you're still in there, but then that's a problem. What if you do have some kind of an emergency and nobody knows where you are? So it's better to go in a place where there's other campers and other people around.
Are there places to contact to find out where those places are?
It's called Google. Just Google it.
Okay. We know how
okay.
to do that. Thanks, Jackie.
Okay. Malcolm or Marcia, I'm not sure which one it is. Go ahead with your question.
It's Malcolm. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Hi, Malcolm.
I see that your relocation tours are fully booked for the foreseeable future. So if we wanted to come to, say, Boquete for 2 or 3 weeks just to see what it feels like and maybe initiate a longer-term rental and visa and that, could you recommend somewhere to stay?
I do. In our online Panama relocation guide, not only does it have all the same information that you would get from a tour, but it also, we are adding it this month. I should have it up by next weekend. We have information about where to stay, restaurants to check out, where the expat hangouts are so you can meet other people, where to go for live music, which grocery stores you might want to check out. We also have some recommendations for people that would do a private tour, that they would come and pick you up at your hotel or your Airbnb, and then they would take you on a tour throughout and show you a variety of different areas and explain the difference between each one of them. And, of course, we also have recommendations for property managers, people that can show you some rentals in the area, too.
Okay. So that'll be, will we get notified when that will be up and running on your website?
Well, it's already up and running. The online Panama relocation guide, it's already there. Just on our website, on the very top, it says online guide. The thing that's not completed yet is the self-guided tour and private tour section, but that should be up by next weekend.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now my next caller is Grace. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Jackie. This is Edwin and Grace from South Carolina. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling in today.
Yes, ma'am. Very quick one. It's in regards to moving household goods and other personal property. To my understanding, a little bit of research, I see there are several companies out there that do this kind of business. What's your take in regards to moving a couple of household goods and other items, and car.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't really recommend bringing a car because you're going to have some problems with it here in Panama. Panama cars, they don't have emission controls and catalytic converters. So the gasoline that we have here in Panama, which is a pretty high octane, it messes up cars from North America. It's also very hard to get parts and very hard to find people that know how to work on a car that came in from North America. So I would recommend sell your car and buy something here. If you look at the price of a car here compared to Kelley Blue Book or something like that, it's about the same or a little bit less. So you're not going to have to pay a lot of money for a car. And then as far as household goods, it depends on there's something you need to be aware of. Most of the rental properties here come completely furnished. They have pots and pans and coffee pots and TVs and furniture and bedspreads and sheets and towels and everything. So you're going to have a bit of a challenge finding a place that's vacant where you can put your stuff if you're going to ship all of your household goods. So I would highly recommend that you come to Panama first and secure a rental and know how much room you're going to have to help you decide how much stuff to bring down. Because you're going to have a hard time finding a house that's vacant to put your stuff into. And if the house is already furnished and you say, well, I love your house, but can you get all your furniture out of here because I want to bring mine down, the landlord will say no because they don't have any place to put it. So they're not going to take their things out. If you just have a little bit of stuff, if you just have like 10 boxes or 15 boxes, it might be more cost effective for you to get with one of those mail forwarding companies that I mentioned and just ship down 10 or 15 boxes of stuff instead of going through an international mover.
I see. So a couple of the items we have are heirlooms, and that's going to be, I guess, my challenge of how to kind of put them aside. I think.
Yeah. Well, with the international movers, they can do just a pallet, which is like 4-foot by 6-foot crate that everything would go into. They can do a 20-foot container. They can do a 40-foot container. But you just need to get some bids from several different companies, and then they can give you prices. We do have some recommendations of companies that we know are super reliable in our online Panama relocation guide. And my next caller is Amy. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie. Thank you so much for taking the time. Where my mom and I are sitting here listening and appreciating all this great information, taking notes. My question.
You're welcome.
My question has to do with working and possibly teaching online or running an online business. I did read some information on your website and done a little bit of information, but I guess my concern is the access to strong Wi-Fi, and I just didn't know what the situation was up in Boquete, if it was strong enough closer to town.
Some areas in Panama, not just Boquete, but some areas in Panama have fiber optics and some areas don't. If you have fiber optics, and I have that at my house, then it's going to be much more reliable, plus it's going to be a faster speed. I have 100 megabits of internet speed at my house, and I could get 600 if I wanted it, but I just don't feel the need. So you just want to make sure that you live in an area. You would need to go visit the house before you rent it.
Sure.
and then ask them, who's your internet service provider? Cable Onda is the company that does the fiber optics. So even if they say, oh, well, we have Cable Onda, well, there's Cable Onda satellite where you're lucky to get 10 megabits of speed, and there's Cable Onda fiber optics. So you need to make sure that it's Cable Onda fiber optics.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Next caller, air code 505.
Great. And thanks very much. Thanks very much for all you do, Jackie.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to add something to an answer that you gave to a gentleman a little earlier. He asked about using ATM cards in Panama, and I wanted to say that I researched that, and that's why I left Chase Bank, and I went to Schwab Bank, because Schwab reimburses you for all ATM fees, no matter where you are in the world. So I'm using Schwab Bank, and every time I use an ATM that has a fee on it, at the end of the month, I see that fee has been refunded to my checking account.
Right.
So that's I just wanted to put that out there for that gentleman who asked about the using your ATM card.
Okay.
And you're right.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Most banks won't allow you to get by with getting off of the fee that somebody's going to charge on their ATM machine. But
yeah, I know Schwab is one. There's a few other banks, and even some banks, they charge an exchange fee, even if it's from a U.S. bank to a Panamanian bank, and Panama uses the U.S. dollar. But I've read that some banks, I think it was Wells Fargo, that they charge 3% exchange rate fee, which is insane, from U.S. dollars to U.S. dollars. So you need to check with your bank and see what their policies are about using your debit card in a foreign country and if they're going to reimburse you for any fees that are charged. Next caller, area code 480.
Hello, Jackie. This is Imran. I came to one of your events a few years ago at the resort, the real estate event. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in today.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you about school system for, you know, middle school and high school. I understand that, you know, if we bring the kids, you know, they have to go to international school. And if so, how much does it cost?
So they have, there's public schools also, but it's going to be Spanish or Spanish and not the highest quality. So there are international schools. There's also bilingual schools, and the cost is all over the place. There's a really excellent bilingual school in Vulcan that's K-12, and it's $75 a month. There's an international school that's just south of Boquete. It's $165 a month. But there's other schools like Oxford and some that are in Panama City that could be $500 a month. So, and there's some around Coronado that are excellent. Five Star and Pacific Coast International School is another one. And those are about $200 a month, and you get a discount if you have more than one kid in the school. So there's not just one price for those. It just depends on which school that you go to.
And those should be comparable to the schools in the U.S., you know, if we decide to move back to the U.S.
Those schools would be comparable. They're even accredited, so you're, you know, they stayed here and they wanted to go to college later, then no problem. We do also have a Florida State University that's in Panama City, and Louisville, Kentucky has a college in Panama City as well.
Okay, cool.
So those are all excellent schools.
I see. Great. Another question I have is about the loan that you get from the bank. What kind of interest rate are you getting these days?
You know, I have not checked. Recently, the last time I looked, it was like 4.5%, but I don't know what the rates are right now. And during the pandemic, I don't even know during this where the country's kind of shut down, they may not even be doing any mortgages right now. But I haven't checked the rates recently. It may be published on some of the websites.
Okay.
So you might check with Banco Nacional, Banco General, the multi-bank, Banismo, Global Bank, yeah. Any of those, and see if they publish any kind of interest rates on their website. I don't know. I haven't looked.
Okay. And you mentioned it needs 20 to 30% down payment, but then rest, how do they qualify? Do they have to look into the income in the U.S., or how does it work?
So they qualify. First of all, they're going to do an appraisal on the property to make sure that you're not paying too much. Then the other thing they look at is your income sources. They don't look at credit, but they do look at your income sources to make sure that you can make the payment. I don't know this for a fact, but I've heard from other people that you can choose to have a 15-year, 20-year, 30-year, or even a 40-year amortization. But there's just always going to be a balloon when you turn 70.
Okay, okay. But you have to show, like, income from the U.S. And probably show a U.S. tax return?
I'm sure they're going to ask to see a tax return, yes.
Okay.
I don't know that for a fact, but my guess would be that they would want to see a tax return.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so
much. Thank
you
for
so
your question. Next caller is Martha. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Martha from Iowa. I'm going to follow up with a question that was asked earlier. In talking about the Friendly Nations visa, as you said, it can kind of go away at any time should they choose to do so. I don't expect you to have a crystal ball, but what is the political kind of climate right now? Do you think that there's a danger or imminent danger of something like that happening soon, or is it just kind of business as normal right now?
Right now, the whole country is just focused on coming up with a solution to the coronavirus. That's all they're focused on. Everything else, they're not. My guess is, and this is just my guess, you know, some very wealthy Panamanians that I know and a few people that I know that are in the government, is that I think that they're going to even promote it more once they start opening it up, because they want to encourage people to come to Panama to start some kind of a business that they might want to hire one or two Panamanians or five Panamanians. So I don't think it's going to go away. I don't think it's in any kind of an imminent threat. And if anything, I think that they may even promote it more once the borders open up.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you so much for your opinion on that.
Yeah, and just let me throw in one other thing about foreigners coming to Panama. I've read some reports from the IMF, International Monetary Fund, and Central American Data, and some other publications here in Panama, that they estimate that for every foreigner that moves to Panama, that they're bringing about $2,000 a month into the economy. Well, they're going to welcome you with open arms to come in after it's safe for everybody to come in here, because then you're going to be going to the grocery store and buying stuff, and you're going to rent houses, and you're going to eat out at the restaurants, and you're going to go to the pharmacy and go to the movie theater and go to the mall and buy stuff. So Panama loves having foreigners come here when it's safe. It's just, there's just right now they want to just get control of everybody that's here right now before they start inviting tourists and other people to come into the country.
Yeah, that all makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Next caller just says anonymous. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? This is Mike. I'm making another question. None of the websites ever talk about retirement homes. I mean, there's so many expats there that, I mean, do they come back to the United States to go into a nursing home or what?
So there are some nursing homes here in Panama. There's not very many, but there are some nursing homes. They're about $700 to $1,000 a month. I know of one in Panama City that's $1,500 a month, so it's a whole lot cheaper than it would be to go to a nursing home or assisted living in North America. But what's more popular here in Panama is actually home health care. And that's readily available throughout the country, is that you just have someone initially maybe come in a couple times a week to help with a few things, and then it might get to where they come in four times a week, or you might even have a full-time home health care nurse that lives at your house to help out with different things. Then you can retire in place and not have to move to a different location. Some people go back, some people stay here, and they just have friends or family or home health care that helps take care of them. Next caller, area code 760.
Hi, it's Stacy again. I was curious, my Google search, I've only been able to find the Bible Fellowship Church in Boquete. Do you know, or is there any kind of resource that we'd be able to, like, research more of some English-speaking churches in the country?
Yep. Our online Panama Relocation Guide has a list of the English-speaking churches in the in Panama.
Okay, so it's not just Boquete. It'll be in Volcan and all the different areas.
Volcan, yeah, Volcan, Coronado, David, and other places. Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller is Craig.
Hi, Jackie. My question is, do you know how difficult it is to obtain citizenship if you have a friendly nations visa?
All I can do is tell you that I do know people that have had a pensionado visa and a friendly nation visa, and 5 years after they got their permanent visa, they did the interview process and then took the test, and they were able to get citizenship. I know people at the beginning of the year, three different people that live here in Boquete, where I live, they got citizenship. Now, once you do the interview and you take the test, it might be another 12 months before you actually get that passport and the letter, you know, the swearing-in ceremony for you to become a Panamanian, but I do know people that have done it.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Janice, go ahead.
Hey, Jackie, happy Saturday to you and all of the people on the call. I've done reading and researching about health care as well as purchases in Panama. And my husband and I are both 74 and maybe 76 by the time we get to Panama. Should I assume mm-hmm. that we need to self-fund all property purchases and all Medicare because at that point, I'm sorry, all health insurance and all property purchases because by the time we get there, we're too old for any of the benefits?
You definitely have to self-fund any property purchases, and you may want to just rent instead of buying something, just rent something. But you are eligible for some health insurance that's here in Panama for between 70 and 75. It's going to cost $125 a month. 75 or older, it's $180 a month.
Okay. Great, there's something.
Okay. Okay.
You.
You're welcome. Next caller, area code 281. Go ahead.
Hey, Jackie, it's John from Tyler, and congratulations on your new chickens I saw that you received.
Aren't they cute? Yes.
Yes, I'm.
Thank you.
I hate to say it, I'm actually sitting out with mine in a chair right now. Hey, listen, I have a question about, I definitely will be moving to the mountain area, Boquete area. So can you talk a little bit about the two different oceans that we can vacation at? And I'm going to be a type of person that I'm going to be always running the roads and checking out beaches and islands. What's the main difference? I mean, I know one is Caribbean and there's a lot of islands, but can you just talk a little bit about the pricing if you wanted to rent on either side? Do they both have beaches? Is the water still clear on both sides if you visit?
So I can tell you that it depends. It just depends on where you are. There's some areas along the Pacific where the water's clear, the sand is white, but it's going to be a little bit more expensive. And there's other places on the Pacific side where the sand is more of a brown or even a black color, and the water might be a little bit more murky, but you know, there's still good snorkeling and things like that that are available. So it just depends on where you are. There's also the Pearl Islands that are off the coast of Panama City. I've got several people doing house sitting in the Pearl Islands right now, and that's exquisitely beautiful with very clear water, but it's in the Pacific. On the Caribbean side, around Bocas del Toro, I wouldn't recommend anything around Cologne. There's just too much crime over in that area. It would be better to stay away from that Portobello and Cologne area. But in the Bocas del Toro area, on Facebook recently, I published a really cute in the jungle with a water ocean view, on the, a couple blocks of a very short walk to the beach, and it was $500 a month for a furnished house in Bocas del Toro that looked really, really nice. So But there's also places that are $700 a month or $800 a month or $1,000 a month. It just depends on what you're looking for. But I would say the low end in Bocas is going to be about $500 a month for something that's decent. You can get something cheaper, but probably going to be something you'd want to stay in. And the low end on the Pacific side and something that would be acceptable to stay in would also be really $500. There's things in the $300 range, but they're pretty small. But for $500 a month, you can get a furnished place that's decent.
Okay, and I appreciate you answering that. And the follow-up with that is I will be living in the Boquete area, so I'm a little bit confused. Is it an hour and a half to each ocean from Boquete?
No. So from Boquete, it's about an hour and 15 minutes to get to a really nice beach on the Pacific side. There's some that are even closer, but they have a lot of riptides, and I wouldn't – if you're not going to get in the water, they're okay to go. But if you want to get in the water, you wouldn't want to go just west of David. It's better to go east of David to Boca Chica or Las Lajas, and that's about an hour and 15-minute drive from Boquete to get there. To get to the Caribbean side, you have to go through Gualaca and then up over the Continental Divide, and it's about a three-hour drive to get from Boquete to Amorete, where you would get on a water taxi that would take you, after a 40-minute ride, to get to the islands. So you're looking at almost 4 hours of drive time and water taxi time to get to the islands.
Okay, well, thank you. That's perfect information. That'd be a great weekend getaway for the Caribbean side then. Thank you.
It would be, yeah, and it's a fun place to visit. It's a party town.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Jackie.
You're welcome. Next caller is Brenda. Go ahead. By the way, Brenda, Sharon, and then Theodore, and those three calls, and then we're going to call it a night. So, Brenda, go ahead with your question.
Okay, thanks, Jackie, and I'm glad I got in on the before the deadline. Question about the temporary visa. So, after spending your 5 to 7 days in Panama City to get that visa, are you allowed to leave the country? And the reason I'm asking is that I have a dog, so I would prefer to come down, get my visa, and then go back home and get her so she's not hanging out in a hotel for a week while I deal with the visas.
So you're going to need to be in Panama at least 5 days to get your visa, and it doesn't have to be in Panama City. You can also get your temporary visa at the immigration office in David. So that's possible also. And then you have two choices. If you want to just stay in Panama, then you can stay in Panama. But if you want to leave the country to go take care of your dog or sell your house and plan to move back when your permanent visa is ready, then there's one additional step right after you get your temporary visa, and that's getting what's called a multi-entry stamp. It only costs $50 to get that, and it's probably included in the attorney fees, but with whichever attorney that you're going to work with. And it's just a stamp that they put in the back of your passport that allows you to leave Panama while you're in that transition between the temporary visa and the permanent visa. Failure to get the multi-entry stamp and then leaving the country, there's a $2,000 fine. So it's better to pay the $50 and get the multi-entry stamp, and then you can leave with no problems.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Sharon, go ahead. Oh, sorry, Theodore, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, Jackie. These are super helpful. I much appreciate it. You've been touching a little bit on what I wanted to ask. I'm going to be coming down. The borders open up at the beginning of 2021 in January, and I want to stay 30 to 60 days so I can really look around and decide what I want to do in terms of where I want to first sort of settle in. And I wanted to ask you, does the online guide address that sort of trip where you want to come down for that like a 1 month or 2 month period, look around and come back stateside, sort of wrap your affairs up and then, you know, move back down?
It does. And let me tell you some ways that it can help you. The mm-hmm. online guide has this section called the best places to live. And so, and there's a lot of different places. The best place to live is the place where you feel most comfortable that meets your needs and wants and things that you want in your life. But it talks about in each of the different areas, you know, what's available there, how many, what kind of amenities are there? What's the budget going to be like? So that section alone is going to help you narrow down where you visit so you don't waste any of your time while you're here and going to a place and say, well, you know, this wasn't even what I was looking for. So it's going to help you narrow down the places that you want to go to. And then by next weekend, I'll be adding another section called a self-guided tour for those different areas that'll where to go. Who's a contact person in that area? Who can you contact to come pick you up and show you around? Where can you get groceries? Where do the expats go to hang out? So things like that in each one of the different areas. So the first thing is, because it's a small country, but there's a lot of different places to check out, and just really doing some soul searching about, do you want the beach or do you want the mountains? And then, is this town too big? Is this town too small? And does it have the amenities that I'm looking for? So it's going to help you narrow down where to look whenever you come here, where to spend your time.
Excellent. Okay. That's good, because I want to get moving quickly once the borders open up. That is helpful. So look forward to seeing you, and I'll see you on the call again.
Sounds very good. Thanks, Theodore.
Thank you.
And our last caller for the day is Sharon. Try to get this posted. Sharon, are you there? Just a second. I'm trying to get to that call. For some reason, it's not letting me switch over to Sharon. Well, I can't get to Sharon. Sharon, if you'll send an email with your phone number, I'll call you to answer your question. But for some reason, for some reason, the software that I use isn't letting me switch over to the next call. So I want to thank everybody so much for calling in on the conference call tonight. By the way, Sharon, just sent an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours.com. I know you've waited a long time to ask your question, so I'm going to call you back tonight as soon as we hang up with this call. I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. I hope you learned a lot from this Q&A conference call. Once again, if you have any other questions that come up after this call or before our next one, you're welcome to send an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours.com or just give us a call at 972-496-4500. We're always readily available for consultation and a free consultation and to answer any questions that you have. Thanks again, everybody. I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend.